This is All India Radio. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on Review of FDI Policy. The participants are Dr. S.P. Sharma, Economist, Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, and Surbhi Prasad, Journalist, who initiates and moderates the discussion.
We've come a long way since the 1990s when India first began liberalization of its foreign direct investment regime. Last fiscal, FDI reached a record 60.1 billion and we've opened up almost all sectors and we've also dismantled the FIPB. Dr. Sharma, what do you think are the next steps for liberalization of the FDI regime?
We are very keen on FDIs in India and we have undertaken a lot of developments and a lot of reforms during the last 3 years in our country. Like government has announced so many lucrative policies to attract foreign investments. And that is the result that we have received at around 100 billion FDI during the last 3 years after the announcement of prestigious Make in India program. And going forward, now government is keen to reform FDI sector further and to invite more and more FDIs. Like average is at around $40 billion FDI every year. I believe that should be $100 billion every year. India should be a $100 billion destination because we have a lot of opportunities. We have 3 Ds, demographic dividend, democracy and demand. That's why every country is now looking at India, India's growth story. We are growing in a good trajectory. We are growing at more than 7% in our GDP growth rate. So all these factors are very lucrative for the foreign investors. And going forward, we expect that FDIs will be sustainable and we will receive more and more FDI from the foreign markets.
What are your views on this, Mr. Tiwari?
As far as last 3 years are concerned, when NDA government took over, the data which has come in terms of FDI clearly suggests that things have been done, like $114 billion has come in last 3 years as compared to about $81 billion in the previous 3 years. So that clearly suggests that a lot many steps have been taken in terms of FDI. So if you have, which means that India has become one of the topmost destinations for FDI, things have been done, that is quite clear. Now you have to take this whole thing to the next stage. You have already liberalized your percentage, FDI norms, etc. But how to take it to the next level? That is the question which the government has to answer today. And that is why probably Prime Minister is meeting his team, which includes Finance Minister Arun Jaitley, Commerce and Industry Minister Nirmala Sitharaman, and all the top brass from Niti Aayog, Amitabh Kant, who is CEO, Ramesh Abhishek, who is the Secretary. So in budget, Finance Minister Arun Jaitley had said that A, he will abolish FIPB, Foreign Investment Promotion Board, which was being looked at as some body which used to control FDI. So that regime is now gone. So there was no reason why FIPB should have continued. That thing has been done. Now you have to change your norms. You have to basically ease your FDI norms to bring in more FDI into the country in areas like retail, in areas like defense. What are the two basic reasons why in areas like defense or in retail, FDI is not that, it is not coming profusely. It is coming, but it is not coming the way the government wants. So those are things which you have to answer. So these meetings, this one which Prime Minister is holding and Prime Minister is discussing at the top level of his government, he's discussing how to improve FDI norms so that more and more people come to the country. Like in case of retail, you have already allowed 100% in food retail, but the local sourcing norm, you have to basically sell all the goods which are produced domestically. Then in the next stage, you know, you have to also allow these food retail companies, food retail entities, you know, foreign FDI entities to sell FMCG products. That will basically help them broad-base their products. These things need to be answered quickly. If you basically take your FDI, which is now at the record level, to the next level, these things need to be answered. So government is grappling with that at this juncture.
As you mentioned, in retail, successive governments we've seen, they've been shy of opening up the sector completely. A few days ago, we saw that Amazon has been given permission for FDI. How do you see this development? Obviously, a lot of pressure from small shopkeepers and unorganized retail, but it is the next step in opening up of FDI regime.
On the face of it, if you ask me, this is a big, big development. Because Amazon coming into India in food retail is a big development. But again, if Amazon comes to India and it is sourcing all the products domestically, and if you don't allow that company to basically sell 25% at least of shampoos or all other things which people buy, you know, when they come for food buys, etc., etc. If you don't allow that, then things will not improve that much. So Amazon coming into India is a big news altogether, you know. But again, what do you do next to basically bring in more Amazons in India. That the government has to decide.
Dr. Sharma, what are your views on this?
Yes, I agree with Dr. Tiwari that there must be diversification about the FDI in India. Now, FDI is concentrated at around few sectors. 18% FDI comes in the services sector and 7% in the software and hardware computer segment. Then 7% FDI is attracted by the construction sector and 7% by the telecommunication and 5% by automobile industry. If you see, the only manufacturing sector is the automobile and few pharmaceutical segments. So we need to diversify FDI from the services sector towards the manufacturing sector also. Though FDI in services is very inspiring, but to create employment and to absorb more and more workforce in the manufacturing sector, we need FDI in manufacturing sector. That is not coming. That is very meager at this juncture. So how to attract FDI in the manufacturing sector? That requires reforms at the domestic level. Though lot has been done in the reform segment in the FDI policies, but at the ground level, at the physical level, like to attract FDI in the manufacturing sector, we need reforms in the four factors for production. Firstly, like reforms in the labor market, reforms in the land acquisition, land availability to the industrialists, and reforms in the capital market, like capital availability, then reforms in the entrepreneurship, that is called the ease of doing business, availability of basic utilities and easier compliance costs. That is the GST that government has already implemented that is going to reduce the transaction cost for the businesses. So all these developments are good to attract FDIs in India, but we need lot of reforms in the so many factors for production, like majorly for we need to reform our labor laws to attract more and more FDI. Now we have a system that taxes are uniform. Indirect tax, that is the biggest indirect tax reform, GST. So in the same line, if there are reforms in the labor laws, a uniform labor code across the country, that will be a major breakthrough for the Indian economy to attract more and more investments in the market. MSME sector, they are not able to deploy more and more workforce because of the stringent labor laws. So if the labor norms are eased, and that is also in the welfare of labor force and that is also in the welfare of MSME sector. Because MSME sector is right now is the major growth vehicle for the economy. And the contribution of MSME sector in the Indian economy is known to all. The sector contributes more than 40% in manufacturing process and more than 40% in the exports segment indirectly. So going forward, if the major focus on the MSME sector is given with the ease of doing business, then there is a lot of scope to attract more and more FDI from the foreign market. That will be a major breakthrough for the Indian economy.
So like you pointed out, FDI in manufacturing hasn't really taken off and we can already see it's also visible in the flagship Make in India scheme. So your thoughts on this, how do we make in India a success and ensure that there's employment generation and more wealth creation in the country?
Like Make in India is at the ground level. Already we are attracting FDI, $100 billion FDI after the announcement of Make in India. But that is not enough. We need more and more FDI, $100 billion FDI every year. That is the potential of Make in India. But for the success of Make in India, reforms are required. Not by the central government only, but by the state governments also. Because ultimately, Make in India will happen in the states. Now the state should focus on like FDIs should come in the each and every state. Make in Punjab, Make in Haryana, Make in Rajasthan, Make in Tamil Nadu. So all these states of India are now focusing on the ease of doing business, and ease of doing business index is there. They are comparing with each other that how they are providing the facilitation to the investors, and they are organizing various programs to attract more and more investments. So going forward, policy environment is in the right direction, and that will take a lot of time to happen actually at the ground level, that we are able to attract a good chunk of FDI from the foreign market.
Mr. Tiwari, what are your views on this?
There is no doubt that ease of doing business scenario needs to be improved. And one big factor there is your labor market. But what has happened in last 1 year or 2 year or so, government has found its own way to do this labor law changes, you know, through states like Rajasthan or Madhya Pradesh. So government has found its own way. It doesn't have a majority in the Rajya Sabha, so critical labor laws cannot be passed. But yes, states can pass their labor laws and then they can get ratified through presidential assent. That is happening, that Rajasthan has done, Madhya Pradesh is doing, UP is trying to do, Haryana is trying to do, lot many other states including Maharashtra is also trying to do. Then another aspect of ease of doing business is your taxation. in that regard, GST has come. So that particular thing will be taken care of probably in next 1 or 2 years, because now you have an integrated market throughout the country. So that is a big, big plus in terms of FDI, whosoever is coming from outside. But these things will keep on happening. Ease of doing business scenario will keep on improving. The biggest bottleneck today, as one sees, you know, is the norms which you have fixed while liberalizing your FDI, like tech defense sector. Now you have to transfer 100% technology. So not many people are coming. In fact, no one is coming. So despite liberalization, nothing is happening, not much is happening. So you have to find a way out so that, you know, people, those who are in defense production, they look at India as an attractive destination. So you'll have to basically ease those technology transfer norms. You'll have to bring to a situation where you have balancing of both national interest and also those who are coming here. The next big area where the government has to do certain thing is your multi-brand retail. Now the kind of controversies in politics you have seen in multi-brand retail, it will be difficult for any government to go for multi-brand retail at one go. That you cannot do. That is well accepted. Once you do multi-brand retail, especially when elections are 2 years away now, so that might not be possible. That would be a high ask. But what you can do, you can always, whatever you have allowed, like in food retail, you have allowed 100% retail already. Amazon is coming. It's a big company. Now, as I said earlier also, you can do one thing. You allow them 25% of their products to be FMCG products. So that, you know, their businesses can grow in a manner they want. Then you create a consensus about multi-brand. You try to bring in a consensus on multi-brand retail, despite the concerns raised by the Kirana. You can do this. Why you can do this today is simply because you have done bigger reforms in last 2 years. GST, 1 year back, nobody would have expected that from 1st of July 2017, GST would come. It has come. Then you have brought bankruptcy code. You have brought all those reforms despite those challenges. So there is no reason why the government should again start a discussion on multi-brand retail afresh. That discussion needs to start. Yes, as I said, this will be a tough reform. But you have to do that. You have to find a way out to bring in multi-brand retail in this country. Otherwise, bigger players like Tesco's and all, they say that yes, we are ready to come. But reports after reports, they say that if India has multi-brand retail in some form, we will come in a big way. Companies are waiting to come to India in a big, big way. But then you have to ease the norms. Ease of doing business norms are already getting improved day by day. But you have to make your FDI norms such that big companies look at India as a big, big destination. Take the case of Apple. The company wants to come in India. Now you have to find ways to provide that company some window, some way, so that your national interest is not compromised. But that company can also do business in India in a manner that increases your job potential, that increases your FDI, everything. So now we have reached to a situation in terms of FDI where government and the officials, they have to sit together and decide which are the relaxation of norms which can bring in more FDI to the country. So that critical moment has come now. You have to ease FDI norms in a manner where the bigger companies who are waiting in the wings to come to India, they start coming to India.
You know, that's a very interesting point you've raised. And in the last 2 decades since liberalization, we've seen that FDI has been good for consumers. It's given them more choice. It's been good for the companies, brought in more capital. But one of the concerns that has always been is that, you know, it'll impact Indian industry, which is also a concern when we talk about multi-brand retail. So how far do you think these concerns have to be balanced while making such decisions?
That is a fact, you know, which you have to take into account when you go for relaxation. When FDI comes into India, take the case of auto sector is a big example. FDI has come into the country, but it has brought in jobs. It has developed so many places as auto hub that you take Chennai, Haryana, Manesar or Gurgaon. Everywhere, you know, wherever FDI has come, you know, in the auto sector, jobs have come. Your industry has grown. It has supported ancillary industry. It has helped in a big, big way. But yes, in certain sectors, when FDI comes, your companies can get affected. Your small businesses or some businesses can get affected. But they can additionally get employment also, additionally get more businesses also. So you have to look at it in a balanced manner.
Dr. Sharma, as an economist, yes, what are your views on it?
FDI is always for the growth scenario. Like that is evident from our growth system. Like lot of FDI is happening in the services sector. And you see the growth of services sector. Services sector is always in the higher and higher growth trajectory, growing more than 8% in the last so many years, despite the slowdown. So there is no impact of FDI on the any segment of the economy, bad impact on the economy. FDI is always good for the economy. Like, firstly, FDI brings a technical know-how. Like India's R&D development is very weak as compared with many advanced emerging and developing economies. Our expenditure on R&D as percent of GDP is less than 2%. That is not good for the economy. So lot of innovation and lot of research and development is happening from the import side. Like we invite FDI, then they invest in India, that particular sector grows. That is happening in the services sector. And my connotation is that should also happen in the manufacturing sector. And the states, like Mr. Tiwari was talking about the states, that states are reforming their labor laws and reforming their policies, ease of doing business. Yes, that is happening. And that should spread across the states. Like the states, those who are not competitive, they should adopt the models of the successful states. Like Maharashtra. Maharashtra is attracting a lot of FDI. Of the total FDI, Maharashtra attracts 31%, followed by Delhi 20%. And some states like Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, these states are also attract good FDI chunks. So other states should also follow the same pattern with their increased competitiveness. They should follow the reforms process. That will help them to attract more and more investments in their respective trajectories. So diversification at the attractiveness level is also needed. Like FDI spread should be across the country. Only the few states should not be concentrated at around FDI. So reform should include for all these states. And states should come forward with more and more reforms. Now, a lot of reforms will happen at the state level, like labor laws. Labor laws are a state subject. And then the land acquisition, availability of land, that is also under the ambit of states. They can provide land banks according to their respective territories. So development of land banks will be a major help for the industrialists to expand their production trajectories. Then ease of doing business in terms of availability of utilities, like availability of electricity, rationalized electricity prices. Now, electricity prices are not rationalized. There are a lot of differentials in the electricity prices because across the states. So there must be some rationality and some uniformity in the prices of the utilities. Like now we have implemented the GST. So all these things like availability of utilities would also be in the same manner, that price differentials are not that much. So that will help to attract more and more investments and to help industrialists in the ease of doing business. And we should also enhance our bilateral relations with the more and more economies, with the focus on diversified attractiveness from the foreign markets. Like currently, major chunk of FDI is coming from Mauritius and Singapore. 34% FDI is coming from Mauritius route and 16% from Singapore, 8% from Japan and 7% from UK and 6% from Netherlands and 6% from USA and 3% from Germany. So there is a lot of scope to expand this basket to attract more and more FDI. Like now we are developing our relations with more economies. Like recently our Honorable Prime Minister visited Israel and some more few economies. So scope is expanding, and going forward we expect that FDIs will come from more and more countries, not concentrated on few markets. And that also will happen in India's in many states, not in few states. So we need to diversify our destinations, sources of FDI, and attractiveness of the FDI across the states. That is good that we are attracting a good chunk of FDI, but there is a lot of potential. 40 billion FDI per annum is not enough for India, with 7% growth rate. India's share in GDP is also increasing. India was only 1.5% of GDP in 2008-09 in the post-Lehman crisis. Now we are at around 3% of GDP. So if our participation in the global GDP is increasing, that should also reflect in the attractiveness of the investments from the foreign market. That should also double in the next few years. And we anticipate that India should become $100 billion investment destination in the next 5 years. That is our ambitious thought process.
That's very optimistic thinking. But like you pointed out, you know, land and labor reforms are still very crucial. And most foreign investors who want to actually come and set up plants in India, they still remain very cautious about their prospects. What do you make out of it, Mr. Tiwari?
In terms of manufacturing, when you look at FDI today, you have to remember that as the growth prospects today are much better, India is one of the top spots in terms of growth. But still, one thing you have to remember, that in last 4 or 5 years or so, because of this sluggish growth prospects, the capacity utilization in industry, especially manufacturing, is quite low. Investment appetite is quite low even today. Credit growth is quite low today. That will pick up going ahead in next 1 or 2 or 3 years, probably 2 to 3 years, when your investment appetite returns, your growth prospects returns, and then private industry starts investing in new facilities. So that is a manufacturing growth story. So FDI in manufacturing will start coming in next 2-3 years. But that doesn't mean that government can stop, you know, working on bringing in more FDI. So what do you do in the interregnum? That is the big question which you have to answer. Services sector, obviously in terms of FDI, it is very, very important. It is contributing the most. But then you have to identify sectors also where you want to bring in FDI. And that is why defense is very critical. So government has to focus on defense. That is why retail is very critical, because market is there. India is a huge market and there is appetite for bigger companies to come. That sector has to be tackled. Another very important sector which needs to be tackled is your construction. See, in terms of construction, although there has been liberalization in last 2-3 years in terms of FDI, etc., FDI is not coming in a big way, and that is because of norms, etc. So there the government has to sit together and see how FDI norms could be eased so that in construction people start coming. That is one area where going ahead in 1 or 2 years, you know, you can get more and more FDI. So a government has to identify that till the time manufacturing picks up and gets to a level where, you know, FDI can be brought in manufacturing in a big way, or manufacturing can be improved in a big way, or it improves on its own in a big way. These are 2-3 sectors where we will work together, where we will ease norms and bring in more FDI, improve FDI inflow. Already your FDI inflow is at the record level. Already you are one of the top spots in terms of FDI. So as I said earlier also, the next big thing which the government needs to do is to identify sectors like retail, like construction, defense, etc., where you have eased your norms, but you are not getting the result which you should have got. So next 6 months, this government should go big bang on basically providing norms, easing norms in these sectors, so that FDI starts picking up in these sectors, A. B, when bigger companies are coming to you in any sector, any segment, then you have to be a little bit more concerned about the kind of jobs they can bring, and also more about the kind of product or the kind of money they would be bringing in terms of dollars, in terms of FDI. So when you are getting big, big companies interested in coming here, then you have to be a little bit interested in bringing them in a manner where you are not compromising your interest, but you are providing them the platform so that they can come and do business here. So these are two areas. A, that you have to identify sectors where you can, in next 2-3 years, you can improve your FDI in a big way. B, you can look at big companies, talk to them and whatever they want, like Apple, etc., and bring them here to set up their facilities, so that both the steps, you know, can complement in such a manner that your FDI increases to $100 billion or so in next 2 years. And then from there, you can look at big reforms like land reforms. Acquisition is one area which has got stuck as yet. Government has not been able to do, although GST bill has been passed, GST is now a reality, land is stuck. And government again is trying to do this reform through states, you know, the way it has done labor reforms. But again, I would say that in terms of land also, when the government has now success in bringing in bigger legislation, you know, government should again try to bring in those changes in land acquisition in next 6 months or so. Once you do this land acquisition thing, that will help your manufacturing, other bigger sectors, bring in more bigger companies in those sectors to come to India and set up shops. But you have to do this in these phases. A, right now, you basically focus on areas where FDI can be increased. B, bring in bigger companies who can come and set up shop in India. And C, look at bigger reforms so that in 2-3 years time, or even medium term, you know, you can target bigger companies in manufacturing sector or the bigger sector where big money can come to India. This is the way how government has to plan, create a roadmap for at least 5 years, how the FDI reform would be going in the country. Finance Minister Arun Jaitley said in the budget itself that yes, FDI norms would be eased and government would be doing certain things, but good idea would be, although the government's term would be ending in 2019, there is no harm in creating a 5-year or 10-year roadmap in terms of bringing in FDI changes, so that you have target in mind that these are the companies or these are the sectors where we are getting an FDI. In 3-4 years, we will be getting FDI in these areas, and these are the companies which are interested in India, and we are providing them the platform to come into India. There has to be a coherent roadmap for FDI attraction in the country.
Dr. Sharma, do you think it's possible to set up such a roadmap and for successive governments to follow it?
Yes, I agree with Mr. Tiwari that there must be some practical aspect for the implementation of announced reforms in the FDI segment. There must be some practical approach that should happen on ground. So the time is crucial for the implementation of these dynamic reforms at the ground level with effective outcomes and time-bound outcomes. And as suggested by Tiwari ji, construction sector is a good sector to attract the FDI. And that is also good for the economy, because construction sector absorbs a lot of workforce after the agriculture sector. Not only the technical workforce, but also the unskilled workforce is also absorbed in the construction sector. Unskilled, skilled and technical workforce. So all these segments can be absorbed in the construction sector. So attracting FDI in the construction sector, I think, will be a major breakthrough for the Indian economy to create employment opportunities and to generate demand in the economy and to give a big push to the manufacturing sector and to refuel the overall economic growth. So if we are anticipating a good growth number in the coming times, we are anticipating that growth should be sustainable and be in the higher trajectory in the coming times, more than 8%. And with the implementation of GST, now we are anticipating that growth should become in double digits. So we have to focus on few promising sectors, and construction sector is one of them, to generate more and more employment opportunities. And manufacturing sector, like automobile, in agriculture, food processing, these are the very lucrative sectors of the Indian economy. And a lot of scope is there to invite foreign investments. So in the coming times, with the focused approach, like focusing on few promising sectors to attract FDIs for the unskilled and semi-skilled labor force, the focus should be on the construction sector. And for the technical segments, like to deploy more and more technical workforce in the manufacturing sector, like automobile sector, textile sector, these sectors will become a major growth vehicle to attract more and more FDI from the foreign markets.
So we've spoken a lot about procedural simplification. How has the abolishment of the FIPB helped investors? Is it going to cut timelines for them? Will it be simpler to get approvals now?
It will be simpler to get approvals. Now the role of industry bodies, industry chambers will become more crucial to facilitate the investors. And in the same line, PSD Chamber has announced a good program, Trade and Investment Facilitation Services, to facilitate the investors from the foreign market to invest in India. And our goal is to make India a $100 billion investment destination in the next 5 years.
Mr. Tiwari, what do you think?
See, it was an unnecessary cycle and it has been relieved, and that is good. It was in the offing for quite some time, and good that the government has basically removed FIPB cycle from FDI. Now, individual ministries will be taking a decision, and finance ministry and DIPP will be just analyzing on a quarterly basis or so. So it's a very good move. It had to happen earlier. Now it has happened. That is very good.
On the ease of doing business, what do you think? We've spoken so much about it, but compared to East Asian countries and China, which are India's main competitors for FDI, India's rankings are still very low when you look at the ease of doing business index.
Yes, we are only at 130th level. That is very weak as compared with India's potential and India's anticipated growth and dynamic reforms taking place. But I think that should improve in the coming times. Government is doing a lot at the ground level, like in the availability of power, in the construction segment, availability of construction permits and reforms in the single window system. So all these reforms will become fruitful for the improvement of the ease of doing business in the coming times. And we anticipate that ease of doing business in the coming report will significantly improve, and we look forward that it will be significantly higher as compared with the 130th level. We must be at around 100 in the coming report, because we have undertaken a lot of reforms in the last 3 years. That is not reflecting in the ease of doing business report. So this time in the forthcoming report, that should happen, that we have improved a lot in the ease of doing segment.
Let's hope that the 5-year roadmap comes to fruition soon and our FDI inflows actually reach $100 billion soon. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on review of FDI policy. The participants were Dr. S.P. Sharma, economist, Santosh Tiwari, economic analyst, and Surbhi Prasad, journalist, who moderated the discussion. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can also listen to this program on our website newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.